We haven't paid any of our advisors, and we really see there's a mutual value, and they also want to continue to be involved. In general, the worst you can do is to not reach out.
Hello, future startup founders. I'm a tech founder myself. My name is Masha Plotkina, and this is my podcast, She Started. In this show, I will be guiding you through the startup world, covering topics like raising investments, building teams, launching marketing campaigns, and everything you need to know to build a successful business. Of course, I'm bringing insights from real startup founders and from my own expertise. If you are building a complex product that requires specific scientific expertise and you don't have it, you surely need an advisor. We're going to chat today with two other founders who had a massive experience in working with advisors. Let's discuss, does every startup need an advisor? How do you know if you really need one? And how actually you can hire them? What you can provide them? Maybe some money, maybe equity or something else. So keep listening and remember to subscribe to my podcast. I have in Quinky an advisor. Her name is Dr. Laura Wovels, and probably if you listened to my previous episode, you already know her. She's an expert in relationship, in psychology, and in sexology, because Quinky originally was a sex education for Gen Z. So we needed some expertise that me and my co-founder didn't have. So we started working with Dr. Laura Wovels, and she actually supported us from day zero when we had nothing. So it was amazing, and I'm sure that we would never get investments that fast without her. It was really exciting when we just decided to make Quinky. We were doing cold outreach through LinkedIn, and we were preparing different versions of our blurb describing what Quinky is going to do. And of course, topic is kind of attractive. So we had multiple answers from different amazing people. And one of them was Dr. Laura Wovels. And she was working previously in a startup called Blue Heart. It's something a bit close to what Quinky was doing, but for a bit elder people. So for millennials, not for Gen Z, and also with a huge focus on psychology and helping couples to build great relationships. So it definitely was a match, and I really loved how Laura quickly decided to help us. And she firstly was working just on her enthusiasm, and she was not asking for any equity or for money. So it was really cool to see that she wanted to help us to break taboos in such a difficult market, and it was really cool. Nice blurb is something that will help you to attract people's attention. Also, you need to deliver to your advisor why it will be very impactful for them to help you and what will be beneficial for them if they will start helping you. For example, they had like 10 years of experience in the market you're working in, and if they join you, it will help X amount of people and it will save X amount of lives, etc., etc. So try to be very specific and try to make a short description of what actually your startup is going to deliver and what help it will provide to other people. And some advisors are happy to work with you for equity. So they will happy to have like 1% if it's like early stage, and you put their name in all the slides on your pitch deck and you use them as a proof and validation of for your concept, and you know that you would not raise money without this advisor. Some advisors are happy to work just for some cash or maybe cash plus equity. So it really depends. You can maybe check my next conversation with other startup founders to find an answer what is the best way to attract an advisor. From my experience, we started working on an agreement that Laura will get equity. And afterwards, I was also working with a lot of other advisors, but not constantly. So it was kind of brainstorming once in a while, for example, once a month or maybe once in 2 months. And it's also very cool because you can get help and these people can highlight you some of the things you are losing, and they can bring you to your focus again. If you are looking for an advisor, I think the best place is to go to LinkedIn and to try to find an expert in your area. Maybe you can find that you have similar connections. So some of your friends are already friends with this person, so you can ask for an introduction and it will be very helpful. And as advice, try to work with an advisor as soon as possible, because these people will help you to move faster, and these people will also help you to grow your network, because they can recommend you other people, and they also can, for example, mention you on their LinkedIn page, on their social media. So it's helpful through different angles. You can fundraise faster, you can grow your network, you can get a lot of benefits for your product. product, and you can get a lot of feedback from really cool and amazing doctors, C-levels from different companies. So yeah, guys, LinkedIn is the best place to find an advisor. And also, if you go to different conferences, you can also find enormous amount of contacts and useful people there. So yeah, just try to grow your network as much as possible, and it will definitely bring you a lot of cool advisors and help you. Meet Nara. She is a CEO and a co-founder of PEL, the business delivering digital palliative care solutions. Just so you know, palliative patients are those dealing with serious illnesses. Running a business in this field requires a solid grasp of science. Let's hear how Nara and her co-founder built a thriving business with the help from her advisors.
My name is Nara. I'm the co-founder and CEO of PAL, and we offer digital palliative care solutions to make it easier for anyone with a life-limiting illness to get access to better support in the comfort of their own homes. When I joined Antler, the idea of PAL was non-existing. I had obviously experienced a personal challenge being a caregiver to a close family member who needed palliative care. So I had that whole life experience, but I had never once thought of actually doing something in the space before joining Antler. When I joined the program, I met my co-founder there, and we came up with the idea based on conversations about problems that we had experienced. What's funny is we actually don't really have any formal advisors, I would say, in terms of like, here's our advisory board, and it's like full of, you know, experienced older individuals. We don't have that, but we have a lot of informal advisors. Some of them we've been involving from day one, and others are newer depending on kind of what our needs are, because our needs are changing as the business is growing. But we've definitely been involving advisors from the very beginning when we started exploring more about the problem and so on. So we've obviously been using a lot of, we're interacting with a lot of palliative care doctors and nurses and other experts in that medical field, I would say. Also, who I would call our advisors are also individuals like myself who have experienced this problem firsthand. So people who are currently family caregivers, individuals with life-limiting illness, and so on, we've definitely been using. And then we've also been quite lucky to be in a very good like startup environment where you're kind of running into individuals all the time that you can get advice from and tips. And I think that the way that we see advisors is so much more like fluid than just like having an agreement with someone, you know, mm-hmm. You are now an advisor. It's really something that we do on a weekly basis, I think, like really getting advice from a lot of different people. I've never gotten a negative comment back, like, oh, how dare you reach out to me with this horrible message. But I do think it's typically quite efficient if you add people on LinkedIn and you add like a little note in like the field and just specify why are you reaching out to them, and maybe just drop something about your company that might get them interested. In general, this works really like way more times than you would think. And also, we haven't paid any of our advisors. It might be something that will happen in the future. We really see there's a mutual value, and they also want to continue to be involved in a more formal way. They want to share all their experience. So I think in general, the worst you can do is to not reach out. There's obviously a lot of advice that can be a bit contradictory, and you get also a lot of advice that maybe is maybe not always relevant or that just doesn't fit with where you are in your journey right now. And that is obviously something that we have experienced a lot. I think also something I try to keep in mind is that anyone you talk to, they're always talking to you and giving advice through their lens and their experience. So if I go now and get advice from someone who's really good at marketing or branding and communications, they will always advise that, you know, we maybe do a solid rebrand, or that we focus a lot on paid marketing, or that we focus on PR. But maybe those are not things that are necessarily that important for us right now. Maybe what we should do is focus on product or focus on getting pilots, for example. And it doesn't mean that that advice is not good, but it's only you as the founder that can really determine if now is the right time to focus on it. And this is an exercise on itself, and I think we're all struggling with actually being able to constantly prioritize and focus and picking out what part of the advice is good. And I think that's just a skill that we have to develop over years. It's definitely not something I'm doing perfectly at the moment, but trying, of course. You don't always have to follow all the advice you're getting, right? It doesn't really matter if someone has 30 years of experience as CEO of like a massive company. that doesn't mean that their advice is right for you. And sometimes you do need to interpret the advice that you're getting and really just figure out, like, is this something that I can use in my business right now, or is this more for later?
What is your experience in fundraising? If you have advisors and if you have maybe some great feedback from advisors on your product, was it helpful for you while you were fundraising? Were you, I don't know, posting some feedback from advisors on your social media, or it's something that is separate and it's not helpful when you do your fundraising?
I think there's probably better examples of other founders who probably have leveraged their advisors better when it comes to fundraising. We never put like, oh, here are our advisors, and we probably should have, because we have some really great people that are helping us. What we did include more was like more the medical angle. So we definitely did use like quotes and testimonials from family caregivers and medical professionals that we felt would support the claims that we were making about the product and its place in this industry. So we did use that, but I didn't use too much the advice from more business advisors. And I think also on that, in general, to just be quite active on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And have a bit of a clear narrative about your business and what role it will be playing. I think being quite active on LinkedIn is something that actually directly helped us with our fundraise. So I can only recommend that. And I will definitely take this tip on board and start posting a little bit more about what our advisors might be saying.
Meet Soam Rakshit, CEO and co-founder of Mystery Wipe, a pioneering company in the field of medical sexual health devices. With a background in electronic expertise, Soam has collaborated closely with numerous medical professionals, including doctors and healthcare specialists. Listen to his story told by himself.
So I'm Soam. I'm one of the founders of Mystery Vibe. Our focus is making medical devices for various urology and gynecological solutions and wider women's and men's health. We do all the R&D in UK, and most of our sales are in US. Over the years, we've had lots of angel investors. They also are very happy to help us with advice. They've been invaluable over the last 10 years in giving us advice on anything from, and advice could be in finance, medical, like, you know, if they're a doctor.
Yeah.
Or a business or corporate, like if they're from pharmaceuticals. So, you know, our background between the team was biomedical engineering. So the medicine side, the manufacturing side, all of those sides, we didn't know. Working with advisors from the beginning on the areas that we didn't know anything about, to finance, to healthcare. From day zero, because logistics to manufacturing. And in some cases, they were consultancies, some cases they were experts, and you know, on a paid basis. The advisors, like consultancies, they just wanted money, not, you know, they'd be like, okay, this is the advice we'd give you, this is the cost. So it's quite easy to manage that. Sometimes we were lucky to have investors who would invest money and they would give us advice for free. But also, I think most people understand that a lot of startups don't make it just from the statistic of it. So I would assume they don't expect, you know, when they start, that it will always materialize. So, you know, a lot of advisors would be happy to give advice from investors. They would invest money in the company, and then just because they're investors, they would give free advice. I typically wouldn't expect any money to give advice and hope that it works out. I think that's another really good way to find the right type of investors as well. So you can reach out to people and say, I want you to, you know, this is what we're doing. This is very relevant to what you have done. I want you to come on board as an investor. And then even if they say, you know, I'm not investing, you can say, I would like you to be an advisor and I'll give you some shares. So you're not spending money, because money is the thing that you want to conserve. But, you know, giving small amount of shares means nothing unless, you know, someday it becomes a massive company.
Yeah.
It's just paper, right? You're reaching out to him directly saying, I want to pay you that in shares. So it's not asking for free advice. And, you know, I just want you to be a shareholder on a company half a day a month for a year. That's it. 4 hours a month. And then you can have checkpoints every month. So you have, I want 4 hours a month, and, you know, we will give you that in shares. So you're not asking for anything for free. You're paying exactly what he would charge you, but instead of paying in cash, you're paying in shares.
I hope you found today's episode insightful. Thank you for listening, and connect with me on LinkedIn, and see you next time. Comment, because it's very helpful and it will promote my startup and also my podcast. And I would really appreciate that. For more original content, follow me on social media. It's Masha Quinky on Instagram and Masha Plotkin on TikTok. You'll find the links in the podcast description. And if you are up for collaboration,